BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a battle that's brewing in our nation. It's between capitalism and that is called democratic socialism. It's between religion and that which is called democratic socialism. It's between moral values and that which is called democratic socialism. According to our guest today, Marxists have been at work for decades to so-called liberate us from our self-governed republic. They want us to believe that communism disappeared when the Soviet Empire fell, but this poisonous doctrine is still at work, weakening America from within by targeting cultural foundations without which we cannot maintain liberty. These are faith, family, and the free market. Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Robert Knight. Robert is a former Los Angeles Times news editor. He's a writer. He was a media fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. He's a regular weekly columnist for the Washington Times, townhall.com, onenewsnow.com, and others. He's held senior positions at the American Civil Rights Union, the Family Research Council, Culture and Family Institute at Concerned Women for America, the Heritage Foundation, Coral Ridge Ministries, and the Media Research Center. Co-authored some 3 books, written 10 others, including Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote, and The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All 3 Branches of Government. Bob, nice to have you with us on Crosstalk today.
Oh, it's an honor to be on with you, Jim.
You wrote a column last week entitled Ripping the Mask Off Democratic Socialism, and it's interesting you used the word, the term mask. Are you implying that underneath this mask lies something much different than what the mask itself portrays?
Well, the mask portrays a quest for equality, a quest for fairness, a quest for inclusion. But what they're really aiming at is undermining everything that makes us free. From marriage-based families to the church to the free market. It's all aimed at reducing the individual to someone who is dependent on the state, and therefore the state can continue to grow until it assumes final power. This is why I don't make a big distinction between socialism and communism. It's really the same thing. It's just different means at different stages. Vladimir Lenin, who was the author of the 1917 Russian Revolution, which really launched communism as a real entity in the world, apart from Karl Marx 60 years earlier, said that socialism is a stage on the way to communism. That's all it is. Hmm. And so when you hear people making, oh, no, it's just socialism, it's not communism, I think, well, where does it stop? What's the distinction? And often they point to the Scandinavian countries like Denmark and Norway and Sweden, and they don't tell you what the Swedes learned in particular. Socialism was destroying their country and their economy, so they initiated, less than 20 years ago, lots of free market reforms that freed up the economy again, and so Sweden is now pretty prosperous again. In fact, they have lower taxes than we do. On corporations, they don't have a death tax. I don't believe they have taxes for beginning corporations. They do lots of things that encourage the free market. But you never know that listening to our so-called democratic socialists.
Mm-hmm. So you believe that the democratic socialists then of our day really have the same goals in mind as what we know communism to be?
I don't think a lot of them realize that. I think because there are so many identity groups that they formed within the rubric of democratic socialism, whether it's the LGBTQ community or the people who favor what they call democratic socialism in terms of the economy, the climate change activists, they all feel that government is the answer to the problem. And if we just get government to make people behave the way we want them to behave, everybody will be free and equal. I think a lot of them are glaringly ignorant about socialism's track record, especially during the 20th century, where it inevitably led to poverty, misery, and mass murder. In fact, most people have a false axis. Okay, think of a line where they say that, oh, you've got people on the left, the communists on the left, and people on the right wingers, the Nazis. And that's totally wrong. The Nazis were national socialists. They're way over on the left with the communists. That was a quarrel in the family when the communists and Nazis fought it out in Germany in the 1930s. Way over on the right would be anarchy, no government at all. And in the somewhere in between is the United States, where we have ordered liberty. We have a republic with separated powers and free markets and so forth. You can't have anarchy. That will lead to totalitarianism. And if you have democratic socialism and anything beyond it, that also leads to totalitarianism. Yeah. So we have a careful balance here in America that's on the verge of being upset if people like Bernie Sanders have their way.
And I'd like to have us hear. I've got an audio clip from Bernie Sanders, how he defines democratic socialism. And at first he has to rip or demonize capitalism with misinformation, but this is how he defined it. This is June of 2019. Let's listen in to Bernie.
Today, we now see a handful of billionaires with unprecedented wealth and power. We see huge private monopolies operating outside of any real democratic oversight and often subsidized by taxpayers, with the power to control almost every aspect of our lives. They are the profit-taking gatekeepers of our healthcare, our technology, our finance system, our food supply, and almost all of the other basic necessities of life. And let us name them. They are Wall Street, the insurance companies, the drug companies, the fossil fuel industry, the military industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, and giant agribusiness. They are the entities with unlimited wealth who surround our nation's capital with thousands of well-paid lobbyists who, to a very significant degree, write the laws that we live under. Today, we have a demagogue in the White House who, for cheap political gain, is attempting to deflect the attention of the American people away from the real crises that we face, and instead is doing what demagogues always do, and that is to divide people up and legislate hatred. This is a president who supports brutal family separations, border walls, Muslim bans, anti-LGBT policies, deportations, and voter suppression. It is my very strong belief that the United States must reject that path of hatred and divisiveness and instead find the moral conviction to choose a different path, a higher path, a path of compassion, justice, and love. And that is the path that I call democratic socialism.
Okay, Robert, your response.
Well, Satan couldn't have said it better himself, because Satan knows that the best lies contain a bit of truth to them. Some of what Bernie said is absolutely true. The United States government is surrounded in Washington, D.C. by well-paid lobbyists. There are big entities like big insurance companies and the military-industrial complex and so forth. But what he's leaving out is the fact that these terrible things that he names have all combined to produce the highest prosperity level reached in the world in history. Even poor people in America tend to have air conditioning, television, indoor plumbing, things people just dream about in other countries. While Bernie is shaking his fist at billionaires, tens of millions of his fellow Americans have become middle class and or working class and are enjoying a standard of living that would rival that of very rich people 100 years ago. He gives no credit at all to America as a free country, and he's busy. He talks about President Trump being a demagogue, and yet his language is exactly that of a demagogue, mm-hmm. that is Bernie's. Bernie creating these enemies, shaking his fist at them, attributing to them bad motive, accusing them of hate. This is all what the left does. They're full of hate. They're full of hate for America, for the family, for the church, and they extrapolate it on their fellow Americans who disagree with them. This is called projection. It's an old Freudian term. But what you do is you accuse others of doing exactly what you are doing. And the great strategist, the Marxist strategist, Saul Alinsky, in his book Rules for Radicals, lays out the ways to do this. And Bernie is preaching from that gospel.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is freeze the target, polarize it. In other words, create enemies, objects of hate that you can rail against. And in order to make yourself look morally superior.
I mean, he talked about all these entities wanting to take control over every aspect of our lives, but that's what exactly he seeks for the government to do.
Yeah, if the government controls our health care, the government controls companies, the government controls the economy, they can, and the government controls the language as the LGBTQ group is trying to do to make us say that men are women, and you know if they think they are, this is total power, and this eventually takes force and violence to bring about the new world order that they want. That's the thing. Socialism at its heart is government force because it's so unnatural for you to think less of, say, your immediate family than you do of the masses of people. And want others to have the fruits of your labor, that they have to enforce it with violence. That's why Germany devolved into violence in the 1930s. That's why the communist Russia devolved into violence, communist China, all communist countries, and now socialist Venezuela is nearing an end stage in which they've destroyed their economy. People are eating out of garbage cans, and they're eating zoo animals. And this used to be a prosperous country, but when they introduced socialism, it killed the work ethic. The cronies of the dictators took over the means of production and ruined them. This is real socialism, and Bernie doesn't have a bad thing to say about Venezuela, you notice, or Cuba,
which
is heavily influenced. Yeah, Cuba has thousands of enforcers in Venezuela. They've helped bring this about. And last thing Bernie said about Cuba was, boy, they have great literacy.
Yeah. So they can read the communist propaganda. Yeah. We'll be back in just one moment. Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk, the push towards socialism, our topic, back in 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the extinction of dinosaurs caused by an asteroid hitting the Earth?
Chris, this is a favorite evolutionary claim that some 65 million years ago, an asteroid smashed into the Earth and sent the dinosaurs into extinction. But did you know that a lot of evolutionists deny this? Some are now saying that the dinosaurs were already going into extinction before the asteroid hit. You see, it's really difficult to reconstruct unobserved history. But the Bible gives us the key. The Bible tells us that God created all the animals, including the dinosaurs, during creation week. Most of them were wiped out in the great flood of Noah's day, and the fossils are primarily those animals that died in the flood. Two of each kind survived on board Noah's ark, but many of them, of course, have gone extinct since then. You see, Chris, everything fits into the Back to Genesis view of history.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight, our guest here today. The push towards socialism, our topic. He's the author of The Coming Communist Wave: What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government. Folks, the book is an eye-opener. We'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of that here today on the program, so be ready to jot down a web address. We also have a mailing address as well. Bob, you've got an interesting quote from the Communist Manifesto, and I'd like you to comment on this. Marx wrote that communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religions and all morality instead of constituting them on a new basis. It seems like a commentary on what we're observing in the United States today.
Yeah, they don't merely want to improve things. They want to burn it all down and from the ashes erect a whole new socialist man. This is why socialism has been at war with the family and the church and the past. They really, that's the first thing they do when they take over a country is destroy the past, because the past reminds people of certain truths that the socialists don't want you to remember, such as that God is on his throne, not the government,
right,
and that our rights come from our creator, God. That's what our founders figured out and then uniquely created the most powerful constitution in history. In the hands of the left, the Constitution, which they never used to quote, and now they quote it all the time, but they use it as a blank check instead of a check on government. The founders are really worried about too few people getting too much power. The socialists have no such concern. They feel like they're smarter than everybody else. Once they're in power, they can make sure we're all scientifically directed to whatever ends they want. And that these people who still want to run their own lives are the deplorables. They're the ones who are ignorant of how scientific socialism will usher in the new age.
Chapter 7 of your book, you write about the Black Book of Communism, published on the 80th anniversary of the Russian Revolution. Tell us about this Black Book of Communism.
Yeah, you'd think you wouldn't need something like that, but it was a real addition to the world's literature because it outlined more than 100 million deaths attributed to communist regimes since 1917. And it was published in France first. It was a couple French authors. And these are things we can't forget. And yet, today, if you ask millennials about communism, an incredible percentage will say they see nothing wrong with it. It's just about fairness. And that's because they've been mistaught for years. And I lay that at the feet of the educational establishment from the colleges on down. Instead of teaching real history, they tend to teach things the Howard Zinn version of history. He was a communist who wrote A People's History of the United States. It sold 2.5 million books. And it's a fraudulent work. It's been debunked by Mary Graber, who's a scholar. In fact, she wrote a book, Debunking Howard Zinn. And she points out all the ways he lies, he omits anything good about America. The whole thing is a propaganda hoax to show America in the worst possible light, as if we're just an irreparable racist nation to which the world will be better off if we're wiped off the map. I mean, it's really, it's amazing the ignorant. You've seen these man on the street interviews. Jay Leno does them.
Yes.
Used to do them. You know, and there's a lot on the internet. And, they go onto college campuses and they ask them, can you name a single founding father? And they'll come up with something truly bizarre, They can't name any of them. They can't name any.
Even asking where the capital of the United States is located.
Yeah. They just are totally ignorant of American history, and that's by design. I remember way back, when Jesse Jackson was leading mobs of students at Stanford University, and they were chanting, hey ho, Western Civ has got to go. Mm-hmm. And so they got rid of the requirement to teach the history of Western civilization at Stanford University, one of our great universities. Well, that filters on down, right through the other colleges and the high schools and on down to middle school even and beyond, where people are being taught America is evil. And the only thing we can do to solve that is to give in to socialism. And so it's no wonder all these millennials are almost slavishly following Bernie Sanders, like the Pied Piper.
Yeah. You've indicated that this path of socialism must be fought wherever it manifests itself. And you list, you say, in the culture, in education, in the media, in politics, corporate America, and sadly, even in the church. I'd like to ask you, Bob, how is socialism rearing up in the church?
Well, let's start with cultural Marxism, because that's how the socialists are advancing their agenda. Cultural Marxism is the idea framed by Antonio Gramsci, who was an Italian communist, who looked around and said, you know, the workers of the world were supposed to revolt against capitalism and unite and create a communist government, but that's just not happening. Too much prosperity for that to happen. So he said, what we have to do is capture the culture, capture the institutions that transmit values, basic values, and that would be the universities, the certain corporations, and churches even. And so you see you've seen the media culture embrace a lot of the leftist agenda, from abortion to the LGBTQ to socialist economics. But one of the main obstacles is the church. So they thought, okay, well, let's go inside the church and transform it from within. So you now see major denominations, the mainstream denominations gave in first, Presbyterian Church, USA, and Episcopal Church, Congregational Church. They're basically taken over by cultural Marxists, to the point where now they have gay bishops and they perform gay ceremonies and so forth, just completely ignoring the Bible and God's authority. But you see efforts even within the Southern Baptist Convention now. Just recently, they adopted some language to study intersectionality and some Marxist terms. And some people in the convention are, you know, crying the alarm, saying, "Don't let them get a foothold. This is the camel's nose under the tent." Mm. Intersectionality is all about victimhood, and it's how the left operates. They divide everybody into an identity group and then say you're a victim. And if you're a black woman, then you're a victim twice over because of patriarchal racist society. If you're a black gay woman, you're three times the victim, and so on. And so they sow discord, and at bottom they're challenging the idea that the Bible is the word of God, that it does hold authority, and that if you go against it, you're creating a new Bible. and that if they ever get the upper hand in the more conservative denominations, we're in much bigger trouble than we are now.
Indeed, and folks, creating the new Bible is exactly what's going on. What I heard not long ago of the Queen James version of the Bible, etc. You know, you've got a couple of amazing quotes in your book, because what you're saying here, it's not by accident. You've got a quote here from Vladimir Lenin, who described the main enemy of communists, saying, quote, "We must combat religion. This is the ABC of materialism and consequently of Marxism." And then you quote Marx, who said the ultimate goal is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism.
Yeah, it couldn't be more clear. But, of course, people aren't hearing this. They're hearing the pixie dust and pink blossoms scattered by Bernie Sanders, who, you know, has created this enemies list and then railed against it and said that, oh, only democratic socialism will bring about equality and prosperity. Of course, Milton Friedman, who was a great economist, once said that society that values equality over liberty shall have neither, because equality, there's equality under God, where we're all created in His image. So, in a sense, God doesn't favor anyone, but of course, we all have different abilities and so forth. The only way to enforce equality is with violence, at the point of a gun, when it comes down to the outcomes of your activities. If someone works harder than someone else, they should make more money, or they should have more rewards. And, you know, one of the best things going around now is when you ask college students about socialism, and they go, oh, yeah, it's much fairer, much fairer. And you'll ask them, how are you doing in college? And they go, oh, I got straight A's. He said, okay, well, to be fair, shouldn't you give, why don't you be demoted to B's and give one of your grades to the C students so that brings them up to B's so everybody's equal?
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you like, wait a minute, I earned those. Suddenly they get it. That socialism is fundamentally unjust. It's not fair. We need more of that.
Well, what role do you believe the church has in addressing these matters?
Well, the church is supposed to be the conscience of society. And by that, I mean the church has to tell us what's important, what God really thinks of all this, whether it's in fashion or not. And that's why I wish more pastors would speak more about politics from the pulpit, because if they don't say anything, people in the pews say, well, it must not be important. And, of course, that leaves the public sphere to the atheists or the people who are twisting the Word of God into a pretzel. So I would encourage more pastors to speak up. I'm not saying the church should be politicized, but they really should be telling us about the threat posed by the progressive left of today. This is no longer just liberals versus conservatives. This is hard left versus the American Republic. And pastors need to step up to the plate and inform their congregations about the threat. They should do it as, you know, if they're not willing to talk about abortion and gay rights and why these defy the word of the living God, then they probably won't talk about politics either.
Mm. Well, one thing that has entered the church, though, is talk and discussion and the whole aspect of social justice. On its face, it sounds so good, but what is really meant by social justice?
Oh, that's a great question. Social justice on the surface sounds wonderful. Sounds like you just help out the poor, and it's about matter of generosity. But social justice is really about redistribution, which is Marxism. Where you take from some and give to others. As Marx said, I can't remember the quote right now. It's very famous. It's from those, from their means to those ends. Well, forget it. Doing a blank. But it's really about redistribution, and that always involves the use of force because it's so unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
When you earn your paycheck, you really don't want to hand most of it over to somebody else. That's why ruinous taxation leads to poverty, not prosperity, and it discourages people from working. And just the same way welfare dependency discourages people from working. You know, if you can get a paycheck and you make actually less if you go out and get a job, well, people aren't dumb. They really aren't. They will go to where they can best have the advantage of their situation. And so the leftists keep finding new ways to make people more dependent because that makes them reliable voters.
We're going to take a quick break. Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And when we come back, folks, be ready to jot down a web address and also a mailing address. We'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of Robert's book here dealing with the coming communist wave. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a coworker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Thank you.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Knight, our guest today. We're talking about the push towards socialism. And speaking of that, Bob, you thought of that Marxist quote that you were grabbing for here in that last segment.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know why I got hung up, because I've repeated it over the years. It's to, from each according to his abilities to each according to his needs. Hmm. Now, that works in families. You know, you sacrifice, and it's kind of a communal pot, and, you know, the strong help the weak and so forth. But when you do it on a societal basis, suddenly it's a whole different ballgame. You need a power to enforce it over you, and it's not voluntary anymore. That's the difference. When you do it voluntarily, that's very biblical. Helping out the poor is commanded in the Bible. But when you say, well, I don't have to help the poor anymore because the government will do it, you've just relinquished a major responsibility that the Lord assigns to the church.
Hmm. Well, Robert Knight with us here today, and your book, The Coming Communist Wave, you have that featured. It's available through your website, is that correct?
Yeah, I just have a new website. It's RobertHKnight.com.
RobertHKnight.com, and
yep.
Look under the store, and you'll find that listed there, and right now you've got it at 50% off on your website.
I do. I want to get it in as many hands as possible.
The Coming Communist Wave, normally $15. They have it for $7.50. And you go to Robert H. Knight, and Knight is K-N-I-G-H-T, RobertHKnight.com. You'll find it there. Or if you want to order it through the mail, you can do that as well. You can add an extra $2.50 for the shipping of the book, and so a total of $10. And write to Robert Knight at P.O. Box 20132, P.O. Box 20132, Washington, D.C., 20041. Again, that's Robert Knight, P.O. Box 20132, Washington, D.C., 20041, and $10 covers the book and shipping, is that correct?
And tax, everything.
Everything, yep. Everything's included.
Yeah, it's a small book. It won't take much to get through. It's only 63 pages, but it's packed with footnotes, and, you know, I did my homework.
Yes, yeah. And, folks, again, as I said, it's an eye-opener. Robert, what's really at stake in this battle?
What's at stake is our idea of constitutional liberties under God. It's the thing that makes America unique, that we have so much liberty here. And of course, the Bible says where the Lord is, there is liberty. That's one reason Jerry Falwell named it Liberty University. Hmm. It was after that Bible verse. And it's a fragile thing because you have to have people with a certain set of values in order to be a self-governed republic. It won't work just anywhere. If you don't have the idea of self-government, if you don't have responsible citizens who don't need oversight, then you need a lot more government. Someone else says those who don't chain their urges will be find themselves in chains. In other words, you have to have a certain level of virtue in order to have a self-governing republic.
Yeah.
And the left has been at war with the teaching of virtues. They're saying it's all a lie. The Bible is a myth. You're just an evolved creature, and we're just evolving toward a higher state, and that higher state is socialism. So let us help you.
Folks, our open phone lines here today is our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're talking about the push towards socialism, and boy, do we have a classroom of instruction going on right now across the nation. Again, our number 800-733-9829. Bob, we've seen this Second Amendment come under vicious attack of recent. Virginia, perhaps the most recent case in point. How is the attack on the Second Amendment related to our discussion on socialism?
If you look at every socialist country that has fallen into tyranny, the first thing they did was take away the guns from the people. And they did it in Nazi Germany. They did it in communist Russia. They did it in China. You got to disarm the people, because when the people wake up from the pixie dust, the serum that was sold to them that this will solve all their problems if they just give their liberty over to the government, they don't want them to have anything to fight back with. The Second Amendment is all about individual gun ownership. In fact, that was established in a Supreme Court case, the Miller, case from Chicago, a few years ago.
The Heller,
because the left,
the Heller decision,
oh, the Heller case,
yeah.
Heller case,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the left for years has been saying, okay, because the militia, a well-armed militia, is cited in the Second Amendment, it must mean only government-run militias. But they did a historical study of it, and it's clear the founders meant it to be individualized.
Mm-hmm.
Even some liberals, like Michael Kinsley, who used to edit the New Republic, said, you know, I wish it were otherwise, but history has spoken. And the founders really intended it to be the last-ditch defense of liberty, of people having guns in their own homes. Plus, they thought everybody has a right to self-defense. You know, I when you think of being vulnerable to a rising crime rate in certain areas, I always come to the phrase, you know, when seconds count, police are only minutes away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good.
So, you know, they might clean up the crime scene, but wouldn't it be better to be able to defend yourself?
Our phone lines are packed. We're going to begin in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And Dan, thanks for calling from Kalamazoo. You're on the air with Robert Knight.
When I hear you talk about the governments and the different forms of governments, it reminds me of the book of Jonah when he was sent into Nineveh, and God told him that the people didn't know their left hand from their right hand.
Mm.
They didn't know anything, and they didn't know anything about the truth of God. And it seems like that we're in the same sort of predicament today. The people don't know anything. And you demonstrate that when you talk about the various forms of socialism creeping into the denominations.
Mm-hmm.
If these people in these denominations had a really good understanding of the Bible, these things wouldn't happen.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah, thank you very much, Dan. Robert?
Oh, that's a great point. You know, the FBI or the Secret Service, when they train agents about how to spot counterfeits, they spend much of their time, I think it's 2 weeks, examining real bills. So they know the real thing from counterfeits. That's why a good working knowledge of the Bible is like the best inoculation you can have against all the false doctrines that they're foisting on us in the name of equality and fairness and democratic socialism.
Now, thank you for the call here, Dan. We're going next to Mark in Monroe. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, my question is, do you think that the preference of Bernie over Biden is based on because is he coming across too radical for the DNC so that they're leery of, you know, almost over implication from that, so that they fear that even their own base and their own party would be overwhelmed by him?
Okay, let's have Robert comment.
Yes. Short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. The DNC is terrified of a Bernie Sanders candidacy because down ticket in all the congressional races, people in conservative places would be very vulnerable. There are more than 30 Democrats in congressional districts that Trump carried overwhelmingly. They're already worried about the 2020 election, but if Bernie Sanders was at the top of the ticket, can you imagine their opponents saying, okay, this guy or lady represents socialism. Do you want that for America? I wonder if they'll allow somebody like Bernie Sanders to get to the top of the ticket. They took him out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of cheating that went on to make sure Hillary was the nominee. And here's the thing that's the problem for the Democrats. If they nominate Sanders, that could clearly lead to the Republicans retaking the House and maybe increasing their margin in the Senate and President Trump's reelection. If they put in somebody else like Joe Biden, the Sanders people, who are the most adamant and most energetic wing of the Democratic Party right now, may sit it out or vote third party, which would also doom the Democrats. So I hope the Republicans don't get complacent, but they're in the driver's seat right now, given what's over on the left side of the fence.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. Let's go next to Marquette, Michigan. And Gregory, you're on the air.
Hi, great program as usual. I was wondering if your guest could help me out. Has he ever found a study or a poll where the United States was ranked in the top 10, say that even the top 10 freest countries on Earth? I'll hang up and listen for an answer. Thank you.
Anywhere, a study or a poll or anything like that?
Yeah, they've had polls over the years, and usually they're about economics. And I think there are other freedoms as well that should be measured. But the last poll I looked at, the U.S. was down in the double digits. And I think that's because government has grown so big in our country. There's so many regulations that a number of other countries are considered a lot freer, like Switzerland. And I think even some of the so-called democratic socialist countries of Scandinavia, because they have certain economic policies in place that are actually more conservative than America's. So I think we ought to be working to reclaim our spot on top by reducing government regulations, cutting taxes, getting rid of things like the death tax, which is one of the unfairest taxes ever contrived. You know, you can't leave your earnings to your children. The government comes and sweeps in and takes half of it. I mean, they want to make it more so. They want to. The Democratic Socialists want to make that like 70% or 90%. Mm. You know, when Barack Obama made that phrase, "You didn't earn that."
Yeah.
I think the same thing ought to apply to the socialists who want to take other people's earnings.
Let's go to Steve calling from Salina, Kansas. You're on the air, Steve.
I got on the show a little bit late, so forgive me if I repeat anything. But if you go back and look at Marx's 10 Planks of Communism, you can see and check off of almost every one of those off a box and see how far we've come down that list. And another thing before I get off the line, how the left has weaponized the media in the last 50 years. And they use that, you know, they use the media against us, and they use our own trust in the media against us.
Yeah. Bob, your comment.
That's a great point. I come out of a media background. I was a Los Angeles Times news editor and writer for 7 years. And worked as a journalist on both coasts for 15 years. And I saw a change in the profession going from liberal. Most newsrooms are liberal because people are drawn to that profession who tend to be liberal, to outright hardcore Marxists. In fact, three people I work with in the Orange County edition of the Los Angeles Times had worked for the New China News Agency, which is the Communist Party English language newspaper.
My.
I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. I used to argue with them about politics and economics. But, yeah, the media have been weaponized, and they are truly a creature of the left. And I think what's going on with the coronavirus is the perfect example of that. They are trying to spread fear, panic. They're almost giddy about what it's doing to the stock market because they're hoping this could take down Donald Trump.
Wow. Thank you for the call here, Steve. We're up against a break, and we'll pick up more of your calls on the other side. Robert Knight is our guest here today. He has authored The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government. We'll be giving you his website and mailing address after the break here as well. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Have you ever heard of the Council for a Livable World? The Council for a Livable World was started by a man that was connected to the Socialist Party in Hungary. He started it here in America as an advocacy group to do what? To disarm America. To gut America's military. The Council for a Livable World eventually was run by Al Gore Sr. Al Gore Sr. and his wife recruited a young man to run for the United States Senate when he was 29 years old. His name? Joe Biden of Delaware. The Gores also were involved with Armin Hammer. Armin Hammer was known to be a Soviet agent and was under investigation by the FBI. Think about this. America's communist enemies putting elected officials into office to gut our military so we lose.
Robert Knight, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And again, if you'd like to obtain his book, it's available through his website. Go to roberthknight.com. And Knight is with a K, K-N-I-G-H-T, roberthknight.com. You can click under his store. You'll find the book there, The Coming Communist Wave. You'll see some of his other writings there as well. Or you can put $10 in a check and send it to Robert Knight. And the address is simply P.O. Box. That's a post office box, 20132, Washington, D.C., 20041. Again, that's $10 to Robert Knight, P.O. Box 20132, Washington, D.C., 20041. Lines are packed. Let's go back to them. Gene is calling from Michigan. You're on the air, Gene.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I have a question. You know, like Biden, he's more or less probably going to be the front runner. But here's what my thought was, and I think I'm not far off base, that maybe he could have Barack Obama as the vice president again. So then, in other words, we had him for 8 years, Biden and Barack, and it could be just a reversal, but we could have those guys again. Is that a possibility? I want to ask your client.
Okay, he's talked about an old Biden-Bama ticket, but Robert, any thoughts?
Well, I've heard the same, except that it's Michelle Obama they're talking about putting on the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Hillary Clinton, who is having something of a comeback right now. There's a new movie about her that's adoring, and she's been making appearances, and she's made it very clear she's available.
Yep, yep.
Usually the Democrats don't go back to failed candidates, but you never know in this weird climate we're in right now.
Gene, thanks for calling. Let's go to Jackson, Mississippi, and Elizabeth is calling. You're on the air, Elizabeth.
Yes, I had a question about Bernie. Now, what is his financial worth? Because it sounds like this is a personal agenda to him. Perhaps he lost a lot of money, and he's angry at capitalism and all that. It just sounds like someone's using him as a tool. Because
Let's come on that. He's got, what, three homes, and he's a millionaire. Robert, any thoughts?
Yeah, he's worth about $2.5 million, I guess, because of his books and whatever else he's been up to. But he was a communist, I believe, long ago. I mean, he honeymooned in the Soviet Union. He traveled to Nicaragua to support the communist Sandinistas. To this day, he just had an interview on 60 Minutes two Sundays ago, and he was praising Fidel Castro. As if Fidel Castro's literacy program made up for, you know, the tyranny inflicted on the people of Cuba. So, no, he's been a long-time Marxist. And I don't know. I know he doesn't believe in God. In fact, he was very anti-Christian during a Senate hearing where he tore apart Russ Vought, who was a Trump nominee at the Office of Management and Budget, and basically said, you know, your Christian idea that only people who believe in Jesus go to heaven is a form of bigotry, and I cannot support this nominee. So he was just trashing the core beliefs of Christianity. So when Bernie talks about sowing hate, he really ought to look at himself in the mirror.
Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth. Doug in Illinois, you're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Yes, I've noticed here lately in my prayer time that the Lord's been leading me and directing me to pray against evolution. And I got to thinking about it, you know, I look at it as a tree. Evolution is the trunk, and up in its branches you got abortion, you got feminism, you got socialism, you got all the isms there are up in that tree, all camouflaged by the branches. And then I see the church going up there and trying to saw off a branch here and there, trying to cut off abortion, trying to cut off this transgenderism, all this other stuff. And I was just thinking, well, maybe what we ought to do is just cut at the very trunk of the tree and then uproot the roots and get rid of evolution. So once the evolution is gone, then all of a sudden we have to start dealing with what is creation and what is the facts and what is the evidence of God. So that, you know, what that does is undermine their whole worldview.
And thank you for that, Doug. And Robert, as you said before, I mean, you quote, you got the Karl Marx quote in your book, the ultimate goal is to dethrone God, also to destroy capitalism.
Yeah, and evolution is a part of that.
Yep.
Because it basically says it's a materialistic universe, there is no God,
It all happened by chance, and therefore the only rights you have are ones we create for you. They don't come from a God, a loving God who created us. They come from government. That's a lie. It's a very attractive lie to those who don't believe in God, and it does lead them to sort of a worship of government as the answer to all our problems, and which is very unfortunate.
Doug, thanks for calling from Illinois. Elizabeth is next in Venice, Florida. You're on the air.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to make a comment and then ask a question. Both my parents came from Portugal when it was a socialist country, and they have voted Democrat for their whole life. They've been here for over 50 years. But anyway, they think these guys are so out of their mind now. So I'm so thankful for that, of course. But my question is, I'm just thinking about the school systems. They are so indoctrinated with, and like the gentleman just said, of evolution and all the other stuff, and also just push the socialist ideas, and also no history.
Let's go right to your question. I'm down to a minute here, Elizabeth.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to hang up. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Your further comment on the schools, Bob.
Well, Elizabeth, you're exactly right. The schools are not teaching the truth anymore. They are indoctrinating students into a leftist worldview, which includes evolution, atheism, the idea that America is the main problem in the world, that capitalism is evil, that socialism is more compassionate, it's more equitable, it's the wave of the future, we're evolving toward a higher plane. It's false stuff. And it's why so many young people are being led by the Pied Piper of socialism, Bernie Sanders.
And indeed, and I apologize to other callers. We're less than half a minute left in the program. Robert Knight, our guest here today, and talking about the push towards socialism. He's got more in his book, and folks, it's an eye-opener. If you want to know more about this push towards socialism, he's written The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, and it's available. Look at his website, roberthknight.com. Again, Knight spelt with a K, roberthknight.com. Robert, thanks so much for being with us here today on the broadcast.
Oh, always a pleasure, Jim. I hope to be back sometime.
Great, and just stay on the line if you would, and friends, if you need to request that book through mail, send them $10 to Robert Knight, P.O. Box 20132, Washington, D.C., 20041. We need to know, folks, what it is that we are neglecting here as our nation, our history, our heritage. Christianity is the target here by socialism and communism.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.